Well, if you're, I don't think we've got any visitors, but if you've been away for the last few weeks, we've been working through Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love. And incidentally, if you didn't get the book yourself and you'd like a copy, I do have three copies left, which you can buy for £6 each. So see me afterwards if you want one of them. We've been looking through this series at God's amazing love for us. And the wholehearted, totally committed response of love that he's looking for from us, a response that loves God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. Now, this is our last week with the book. And at this point, you may have the feeling that devoting yourself wholeheartedly to God is a great goal, but it's unrealistic, and that you'll never reach that point. Who really lives that way? Well, I understand that concern. Let me assure you that I have never reached a point where I feel as though I had reached my goal. As the Holy Spirit works in us, we will always be growing and we'll always have further to go. Paul said in Philippians, "Not that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on." I press on. And that's the key, pressing on. Sometimes it's tempting not to bother doing that. It would be easy to hear all that we've been saying about developing a passionate, obsessive, on fire love for Jesus and think, I can't do that. My life is so far from that place. I can't really live that way. We have a tendency to get discouraged and give up rather than, as we were saying earlier, letting our light shine or letting God's light shine through us. And so it's for that reason that I'm really thankful for the compelling examples that God has placed in my journey through life, looking at the faith and love of ordinary people who I know or I've come across, gives me hope that following Jesus is possible. That God does use imperfect people to do extraordinary things. So today's sermon is going to be slightly different. Today we're going to be hearing about some ordinary people who do live that way, who live their lives fully surrendered to God. They're quite different examples, but each one bears the mark of a person transformed by the beauty and reality of God's love and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And as you hear these accounts, take them as encouragement that these things are possible. This is a friend of ours called Sophie and her two boys. Lindsay and I first met Sophie when we were at church in High Wycombe. And Sophie and her husband, Mark, were members of our church there. Sophie and Mark, who were in their early 20s, had a real burden in their hearts for the people of Uganda. They sensed a strong call from God to go out there and work amongst the churches there. And initially, they went out every year for Mark to preach at a Bible teaching conference. And in 2001, Mark and Sophie bought a piece of land. This is the land, and that's Mark beside Sophie. In a small village, it's not, don't get the idea that this is some sort of vast farm. It's only, you know, probably the size of the Victoria Park Centre plot here. In a small village in the east of Uganda, in Kasese District. And the intention was for them to build a home there to work with the full gospel church. While they were preparing for that, they moved out to Kampala to learn the language and to begin working full time. In 2003, they came back to the UK for the birth of their first son. And while they were here, Mark was diagnosed with cancer. It was the recurrence of a brain tumor that he had had when he was a teenager. At the beginning of 2005, 3 months after the birth of their second son, Mark died. So Sophie, at the age of 29, found herself a widow, the mother of two very young boys, and the owner of a still undeveloped plot of land in very rural Uganda. Obviously, the dream that she and Mark had shared about working together in Uganda wasn't going to happen as they thought. And she went back out to Uganda for one last time to say goodbye to the friends that she had made there. But when she was there, she was asked about the land that they owned. If nothing was done with the land, she was told, the government would simply reclaim it. So she talked to the people in the village about what they needed, and the conclusion was that what they really needed was a school. So Sophie came back to Britain, set up a charity, raised a lot of money, built a school on that piece of land, employed a head teacher and a staff, and now 420 children attend that school, including 135 orphans who are fully funded and get two meals a day and shoes and a uniform, as well as an education. Sophie didn't stop there. The charity also provides training and Bibles for pastors in Kasese District. Why would pastors need Bibles? Well, they really do. They run Bible training conferences and seminars for married people and for young people. And a few years ago, it also started buying piglets. The idea is that these are given with pig pens and training in pig management to widows in the area, who then have a means of supporting themselves and their families. Sophie is an extraordinary person. She's a single parent, widowed in her 20s, bringing up two wee urchins. She's a loving, faithful friend. Her passion for the people of Uganda is obvious. We've been out with her as a family to Uganda, seeing the work she does, and her love for them is amazing. And even more obvious is her love for Christ, that is the source of her passion. Sophie makes a difference. But the thing I find most extraordinary about Sophie is the fact that she is ordinary. She is no different from you or me. She has no superhuman powers. She makes mistakes. She struggles with all the things she's been through. She gets lonely. She gets tired. You might look at this photo of her speaking to quite a large group of people out there and think, well, she's obviously really gifted at that and confident. Actually, she hates doing that sort of thing. But she has to do it because she finds a microphone thrust into her hand wherever she goes, and she's always ready with some passage of scripture that she will bring to the people there. She trusts God. She does what he says. And in fact, just to tell you the end of this, part of her story is that she's now met and recently married another widowed parent, Charlie, which is great. It's really exciting. The second story you're going to hear, I hope, if the technology works, is from the person herself. You may have heard, you may have seen something in last week's notice sheet about the Preshall Trust, which is a charity that works in Govan, one of the most deprived areas of Glasgow, trying to tackle problems such as poverty, drug and alcohol addiction, low literacy and numeracy skills, and depression, and low self-esteem. And the Preshall Trust was founded by May Nicholson. And a while ago, May was given the opportunity to tell her story to the Scottish Parliament in their reflection time. And we're going to see that now.
Afternoon. The first item of business this afternoon is time for reflection. And our time for reflection leader today is May Nicholson of the Preshall Trust.
Well, hello, and it's lovely to be here with you all today. I was born and brought up in a very famous place, and that place was Fergusley Park in Paisley. The street I was born in, they used to say, if you want to stay alive, stay away from Logan Drive. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't change my upbringing for anything, We were a really, really poor community. We didn't have anything materially. But boy, did we not have a great community spirit. Neighbours were good neighbours. It was like when the Bible spoke about being a good neighbour. If one in our community was ill, all the rest would rally round. And I think today we've lost that unity in our community. We don't know our neighbours. We don't help our neighbours. Anyway, at the age of 15, I was alcoholic. And at 15, one night I went out and drunk that much and popping tablets, I took an overdose and I lay in a coma for a week. When I came out of that coma, they put me into a mental hospital. And at 15 years of age, they wired me into the wall and they gave me what's known as electric shock treatment. See, for any wee lassie at 15, that was the most frightening experience that any wee lassie should have went through. When I had that shock treatment, they didn't knock you out to give you. They gave you it when you were wide awake. But anyway, I spent 11 months in the mental hospital. What was the first thing that I did when I got out? Went for another drink. That was the grip that drink had in me. But 28 years ago, a wonderful thing happened. You know the life of a drunk, shoplifting, lying in prisons, you name it. 28 years ago, I found a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible it says, when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that day, Jesus set me free from drink and all that goes with it. And from that day, I've worked to help people like myself. Me and a friend founded Preshall Trust in Govan in Lynthurst. And in Preshall Trust, I started it, I brought a kettle and a toaster in for the house in a wee church hall. Today we've bought our building. We work with alcoholics, drug addicts, people with mental health, people that are socially lonely. We work with the gangs in the park. We work in Cortonvale Prison, Shorts Prison. And when we started it 7 years ago with nothing, today I'm employing 17 workers. We work with all problems. But mind you, I'm even told I work with normal people. But see, if you meet one, going to introduce me. Because I've never met a normal person in my life. What do we do? We do different courses, arts and crafts, fishing club for the men, pool. We do loads of literacy and numeracy. Tell you a wee story. Mary came along to our project. When Mary was 6, her mother put her in the home. At 11, she ran away to find her mother because she told her she would come back and she never went back for her. Mary ran away. And when she ran away, she asked a man where the galley gate was. And he took her up a close, and you know what happened. Mary turned up at us for her line dancing class. And we found out she couldn't read and write. Mary got into her literacy and numeracy. And we learnt her to read. And Mary gave her life to the Lord about 4 years ago. She had been in prison like myself. She had been an alcoholic. Mary's life totally turned round and she's never went back to that way of life. Our president is the Duchess of Montrose and I'll tell you, she comes into our project, she'll get her sleeves up and she'll knows all her people by name. But I must say this, if it wasn't having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, he's the only one that can change lives. No one else can change lives. But if any is wanting to read my biography, you'll get it. Just before I stop, Miracles from Mayhem. And then Sir Alec Ferguson has done a bit in that. I've done 2 books. If anybody would want one, get in touch with Preshall Trust and you can read the whole story. Because I'm shaking from my toes right out of my head here today. Right, thank you.
Fantastic. And if anyone wants to hear more of May's story, she's going to be speaking at an event at Hoyk Baptist Church on April 2nd. Details are on the in the notice sheet, or see Christine if you want to find out more. One more story. Let me tell you about some more friends of ours. This is, if we can go to the next slide, Cal. Andy, or hiding at the back here, is Andy Gorn, and his wife is Fiona. Andy and Fiona live in Gateshead now, but Lindsay and I were at university with them. And in fact, Lindsay went to school with Fiona and became a Christian, partly through her friendship with Fiona. Now, I could get your attention by saying that after he graduated from university, Andy made his money selling drugs. What I mean by that is that he worked for AstraZeneca. He was a pharmaceuticals sales rep, and he was very good at his job. So good, in fact, that he was fairly quickly promoted to regional sales manager. His people management skills are just as good as his sales skills. And he was earning a very significant salary in that role. There might be a lot of money in illegal drugs, but there's a lot of money in legal drugs too. So they were doing very well for themselves. You wouldn't have known that, though, if you'd gone to visit them, because Andy and Fiona have always lived in very modest houses with modest lifestyles. Their big splash out is a takeaway curry on a Friday night with the family. Most of the money they earned, they simply give away to the church, to charities, to sponsoring children, whatever it might be. As skilled at his job as he was, Andy had a sense of God calling him to something quite different. His passion has always been sharing the love of Jesus with children. And so he gave up a very well-paid, very secure job with Astra to go to teacher training college. He spent a year teaching and now works as a full-time children's worker for Jesmond Parish Church in Newcastle. That passion to share God's love isn't restricted to their professional lives. Andy and Fiona have two children of their own, and then they decided to adopt Katie. This is Katie, who is a very much larger than life toddler with, well, she's not a toddler anymore. How old is she now? About eight now. At the time they adopted her, she was a toddler with Down syndrome. Then a few years later, they decided to adopt again. They were thinking of just one more, but they came across another wee girl with Down syndrome, very severe Down syndrome, Alanis, who had a brother, Brian, and they didn't want to be separated. So they took the decision to adopt both of them. So they're now a family of seven, including two children with learning difficulties. They drive around in a minibus. Their home is one of the most chaotic, noisy, joy-filled places that you will ever go to. They are no more immune to the stresses of bringing up children, including their own teenagers, than anyone else. But they do it with a passion that is based on their love for Christ. The point of those three stories is not that Sophie or May or Andy and Fiona are superheroes, but that they are everyday heroes. They are living real lives, just like you and me, with all the ups and downs that we have in our lives. Lives which are centered around a burning passion for Jesus. All the people we've heard about today, and I'm sure you can think about other people like that for yourselves, all of those people are stepping into other people's lives and making a difference simply because they are in a relationship with Jesus. And as we go through the sort of study guide that we've been doing, looking at Crazy Love, as I said, it can be very easy to think about some of the things that Francis Chan is saying and get discouraged and think, I can't do that. You can. And actually, when you go and invite your neighbor or your friend or your colleague at work along to something like this, you're doing that. When you give up a Wednesday afternoon to meet with some elderly folk who are really looking forward to a time spent singing some of the old hymns that they know from their youth, you're doing something of that. When we meet on a Sunday afternoon and provide tea to some folk with dementia who probably won't remember the occasion shortly after it, but who nevertheless have a great time and are shown something of the love of Christ, then we're doing that. We're doing this as a church, and we're doing this as individuals. Let's do more, and let's remember that what we're doing is not on our own strength, but in the strength of Jesus Christ.